What is up, everyone? This is Jake with Radio Underland coming to you from this hot day in the desert. We had a great show last night. If you haven't heard it, you can check it out on all of your podcasting apps. It's called Mr. Common Sense, where we had a battle between comedian Shane Scurvy Spears, representing the left side of the aisle, and Anthony Carmago, representing the right side of the aisle. And it was really interesting to see, because these guys debated about a bunch of different topics, from abortion to immigration, etc. And we were talking to both of them, and then when everybody in the studio voted, and it came out with a 7 for one candidate, 4 undecided, and 1 for the other candidate. Now, considering who our listener base usually is, the outcome was rather interesting. So you might want to listen to that debate. It was nice to have two guys from opposing beliefs on a lot of things get together and have an actual real conversation. There was no yelling, no insults. It was actually much more tamer than I would have liked. I even tried to get them to go at each other with the how many genders are there question, and nobody really got upset, so I was a little surprised. They were very, very calm and cordial, which wasn't good for radio. It wasn't, but, you know, big ups to those guys. They're doing what they're supposed to do, and it's amazing when you get level-headed people talking and having a conversation how much common sense comes out of those conversations. So last night's episode was the battle, or no, it was called Mr. Common Sense. You guys can definitely check that out. It's also available on Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Now, I don't know if you guys heard the story, but there's a story of this black man that was marrying a white woman. And, well, first, let me just, they were trying to book a wedding venue, okay? They're going out there, they're exploring these different wedding venues, and they stop by this one. And this is what the wedding venue had to say.
First of all, we don't do gay weddings or mixed race.
Okay, so why not?
Because of our Christian race. I mean, our Christian belief.
Okay, we're Christians as well. So
yes,
what in the Bible tells you that?
Well, I don't want to argue my faith.
No, that's fine.
We just don't participate.
Okay.
We just choose not to.
Okay. So that's your Christian belief, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Now, what happened was, LaCambria Welch, her brother went into this venue, and the venue is called the Boone's Camp Event Hall. And LaCambria Welch's brother went in there and was denied wedding services because it was an interracial marriage between a black man and a white woman. So LaCambria went back down there to talk to this lady. Of course, she had a hidden camera, and she asked about it, and you heard the response right there that we don't do interracial marriages or mixed. It's their religious belief. Now, Boone's Camp Event Hall is in Mississippi. In 2016, Mississippi passed a law allowing religious discrimination to gays based on religious beliefs, but in that law, there's no mention of color or race. So this video goes viral, and that owner, the owner is unnamed, but it's the female that we heard talking in the audio clip of Boone's Camp Event Hall. She did release a statement, and I quote, "As my Bible reads, there are two requirements for marriage, and race has nothing to do with either. All of my years, I had assumed in my mind that I was correct." So she did apologize in a roundabout way, but I'll tell you what, the Facebook page got so much flack that their Facebook page for the Boone's Camp Event Hall is now defunct. But I'll tell you what, now I don't get it when these racist white ladies down in the South, they can just say in their very soft voices with that freaking cousin fucking slang, that they can say these horrible racist things. We had this another incident earlier. What was that? About 2 months ago, where there was a bartender that was just calling the black patrons in the restaurant the N-word. And but these, you know, to grow up in a world that these, now this white lady, she's probably, I don't know, she looked like she's about 45, maybe 50 years old, that was spewing this nonsense out her mouth. I mean, I guess they're down South. They go to these backwoods churches where they're picking up snakes and, you know, no deadly viper shall harm me kind of bullshit. And they really believe that that is what the Bible says. Now, thankfully for this lady, she did go and do a little bit of research and find out that the Bible doesn't say anything about interracial marriage, you know, but it's these old freaking people that are set in their ways. It's just this, they have been brought up in this culture of, it almost in their way, the way they approach it as this innocence of racism, because it's just the way that it's just the way we do things around here. You know what I'm saying? And these assholes around the country are freaking, nothing pisses me off more than when I see one of these old white people spewing this nonsense. But she did apologize, but I think it's a little too late because, you know, the social media is just destroying this Boone's Camp event hall. You know, I want to see somebody else go in there undercover and try to book a KKK rally. I wonder if Mr. Boone's family event hall would be down for that. Well, yes, you can hold your rallies here just as long as you don't burn the crosses, get the charcoal on your fingers, then wipe it on our white tablecloths. I bet you they'd be more accepting of that. They probably would. Anyways, this kind of nonsense is still going on. It's prevalent in America, and it's just people. Can you really blame it on ignorance these days? I mean, I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, if you're going to go around and spew something like, oh, you know, we don't allow any black people or interracial marriages in our celebratory hall, you would think that if you're going to present that to your customers, that you would do a little research and find out if you're doing this for a religious reason, that you're actually biblically based on this. But I don't think it has anything to do with, I think they use religion as that crutch, you know what I mean? But they're wrong, and it's just them supporting their own racist views and blaming God for it. And it's the most disturbing, freaking annoying trend that I see with these old religious people in this country doing this kind of nonsense. And it needs to be stopped. It needs to be stopped. And I'll tell you what, I, for one, am glad that this old lady got busted, and now her social media presence is ruined because she went viral for saying stupid shit. I have no problem with that whatsoever. If you're going to be that kind of a moron, that's what you deserve. You should have never been able to get away with that kind of thought, but definitely not now. You know what I mean? So this kind of shit, if you're a business owner out there and you don't want to, you know, you don't want to service particular people because you don't agree with their lifestyle, you better watch out, man. You better watch out because in today's society, the social media warriors are coming after your ass and they will take your business down. So you better think twice. That's all I have to say about that. But this is just one of the most infuriating stories that I've seen this morning. But we're going to move on to some other stuff. A U.S. woman is held in the Philippines after airport staff searched her luggage. And guess what they found? That's right. In her carry-on bag, they stopped her because the carry-on bag was oversized. They opened it up and there is a 6-day-old baby. Now, after they take the baby out of the suitcase, this U.S. woman claims that she was the baby's aunt. Of course, that's a likely getaway story, right? You're toting around a baby in your carry-on luggage because that's what normal people do. And then you claim that you're the aunt. So that's just an interesting story that just hit the news. That woman is in custody in the Philippines. She did try to fly out of the country with a baby in her hand luggage, local authorities said. Philippines Immigration Bureau spokesman Melvin Mabalik said they received a report around 6:20 a.m. Wednesday that a 43-year-old woman had been caught with a child in her bag in Ninoy Aquino International Airport in Manila. They said the baby was just 6 days old. They've got some CCTV, you know, closed circuit television cameras of video of the lady walking through the airport, etc. But I mean, man, what a crazy bitch to try and smuggle a baby in your carry-on luggage. What a freaking, I don't know, man. People are crazy. Is this trafficking? Were they selling this baby on the black market? I'm not too sure what was going on, but something illegal had to be going on. I mean, you don't just put a baby in your carry-on bag. I mean, who does that? But anyways, that's in the Philippines. U.S. woman, she's caught. Anyways, Hollywood Hills man accused of supplying fentanyl-laced pills to rapper Mac Miller before his death. Apparently Cameron James Pettit, who's 28 years old, is accused of selling counterfeit pharmaceutical drugs laced with fentanyl to the hip hop artist, whose real name is Malcolm James McCormick. 2 days before his death in Studio City on September 7th, 2018, this is according to the U.S. Department of Justice, Miller was 26 years old. The Los Angeles County Coroner's Office determined he died of a mixed drug toxicity involving fentanyl, cocaine, and alcohol, and his death was ruled an accident. Pettit has been charged with a federal count of distribution of a controlled substance, according to the Department of Justice news release. Actually, he's scheduled to make his first court appearance in downtown L.A. on Wednesday afternoon. But he won't be asked to enter a plea yet, according to Tom Morzek, a spokesman for the U.S. Attorney's Office in Los Angeles. During the proceedings, the government will ask that Pettit be held without bail, according to Morzek. A future court date will also be set. Pettit could face up to 20 years in prison if convicted on the charge. According to an affidavit, investigators uncovered communications between the defendant and victim in which Pettit agreed to supply 30 milligram oxycodone pills, cocaine, and Xanax to Mac Miller. Authorities allege Pettit didn't provide genuine oxycodone to the rapper, instead selling him counterfeit oxycodone pills that contained the powerful synthetic opioid fentanyl. Miller purchased the alleged fentanyl-laced pills on September 5th, 2018. 2 days later, he was found unresponsive inside his home in Studio City. Now, fentanyl, man, the use of this drug is on the rise. The mortality data from the National Vital Statistics System, researchers were able to show that involvement of fentanyl in opiate overdoses rose from 14.3% in 2010 to 46% in 2016. That's nearly half of all opioid-related overdoses. Fentanyl is found at the core of that. If you guys don't know what it is, it's well, I've heard different reports, but it's 80 to 100 times more powerful than morphine. And so this is a It does really well for pain management. It really does. But the withdrawals when you're coming off of it are just, and they happen fast. People that use this drug routinely for pain medication, for, you know, maintaining or pain management, if they miss one dose of this stuff, they're curled up in a fetal position and sweating and just in extreme pain. The withdrawals of this drug are very, very extreme. From what I understand, I've never taken it, of course. You know, I live a straight edge life. But anyways, fentanyl, it's really cheap to produce, and it's also very powerful, so it's easy to smuggle into the United States. They've been mixing it. Most of the deaths that happen from fentanyl, it's not intentional, because what they're doing is they're using this drug to cut in with other drugs. They've been using it to cut in with heroin, cocaine, and it's just so powerful, and people, you know, be careful out there. If you're an active drug user, which I'm sure some of the people that listen to the show are, be careful, because this fentanyl shit, man, it will mess you up. And so that's apparently what took down Mac Miller. It's one of these instances where he thought he was taking oxycodone, but he was actually taking fentanyl. And it, you know, the toxic relationship with cocaine and whatever else he was on, it did him in. So be careful out there. I mean, there's some drugs out there that are powerful and they're cheap to make, and they're getting cut in with like heroin, cocaine, all that other kind of stuff. So just be on the lookout. And I don't know how you could tell. I mean, come on. What do? You use a more reputable drug dealer, you know, quality checks. You take it to the lab and have it analyzed before you take it. Yeah, man, you're really at the discretion of whoever you're buying this crap from. But it's all good, because in the United States, we've outlawed these illegal, you know, narcotics, and nobody should be taking them at all, because that works so well in the United States. Now, if you're living in San Bernardino, you need to be careful, and I'll tell you why. We all know the rules, right? When you're driving down the road, you see a school bus on the side of the road, they put out the stop sign, you are not allowed to pass from either direction. And if you do, California has changed some laws where you can get immediate suspension of your license. But San Bernardino, California, is taking it up a notch. On September 9th, what they're doing is a bunch of California highway patrols are going to be boarding these buses and riding with your children. And they're going to be enforcing the cars that need to be stopping at when the school buses have their stop sign out. So if you're in San Bernardino, be careful, because once those lights are on the bus and the signals are on and that stop sign's out, if you pass it in San Bernardino, there's going to be CHP on board. I don't know what they're going to do, if they're going to take a picture of your license plate or what, but you're most likely going to get a ticket and have, it's a $1,000 fine and possible suspension of driving privileges for 1 year, according to the CHP. CHP officers will be on board buses and call to other officers in nearby patrol vehicles to make a traffic stop and give a ticket or a warning, Officer Ivan Sandoval said. In 2016, a one-day survey of 137 school districts and 9 school bus contractors conducted by the California Department of Education, more than 26,000 1,000 motorists failed to stop for a school bus that had stopped to load or unload students, according to the CHP. So it's dangerous out there. You know, we need to, you know, take care of our kids. And if you see that stop sign, it always happens to me when I'm in a rush, when I'm trying to get somewhere, that I get tied up behind this school bus that keeps stopping every 50 feet down the road with that stop sign out. But you know what? You just got to stop. It's important. It's important to the kids. You know, safety is of a most important concern with the kids. And we got to be careful. We got to be good humans and do the right thing. Especially, you know, when I see these buses with the young kindergarten or first, second graders, and they don't think, you know, they just get off the bus and start running around like wild banshees because their parents are too lazy to tell them to look both ways before they cross the street. And these little fuckers would turn into a little school kid speed bump in a hurry if you're breaking the law and going around these buses. So this is one of those things where I'm not high on, excessive patrolling, but, you know, we got to keep the kids safe. So I'm okay with this. Just follow the law and you won't get in trouble. But if you break the law, $1,000 fine and lose your license for a year. So that's what's going on in San Bernardino. Be careful on Monday, September 9th. In Alabama, a 14-year-old teenager admitted to shooting and killing his five family members in their Elkmont, Alabama home late Monday night. The teen called 911 around 10:30 p.m. claiming he heard gunshots upstairs while he was in the basement. He helped investigators locate the 9mm handgun he had tossed and confessed to the shootings by 3 a.m., according to a CNN affiliate, WAFF. The small town of Elkmont is just shy of 500 residents, about 40 miles northwest of Huntsville, Alabama. The victims were his father, stepmother, and three siblings. He shot at five of them, and I heard that some of them, well, I don't have the exact, I know that two of them died. They made it to the hospital, but they died. And I'm not too sure. I think the rest were dead on the scene. I don't have the exact details on that, and I don't have much more information here, but I did see another report on that. Anyways, now this is interesting. This is a different story, but social media site Facebook is considering hiding user post likes from the public. So the only person who could see the amount of likes would be the person that originally posted it. And the Facebook-owned Instagram already experimented with this idea when they tested it in May in Canada, then in July in Australia, New Zealand, Ireland, Italy, Brazil, and Japan. Instagram head Adam Mosseri explained the intent of making the social media app less pressurized, since many users judge accounts by their numbers alone, which can cause anxiety for the people who post. Experts point out that such a change would have wide-ranging impacts on influencer marketing, and it would probably lead to higher quality influencer content. It's one of those things where people do post on social media and then they refresh and they it is a status symbol to see how many likes you got on your post or how many likes you got on the content that you're supplying. And does it matter to me? No, it really doesn't matter. I don't care. But for some people, that pressure, if they took it off where it's not publicly viewable, okay. But I also see how it can affect the influencers that, you know, you see somebody post a video that's got, 10,000 likes on it. You're like, wow, this person has a lot of pull. And if you can't see that anymore, then what are you going to judge these influencers by? You're going to judge them by their content. And content should be the king anyways. So I don't know. I guess they're trying to do something kind of how they see good. The likes on the comments, I mean, it's just something that we've grown accustomed to because it's the way that we've always known it. How many likes did the post get, et cetera, stuff like that. But is it really relevant in the grand scheme of things? I don't think so. So, I mean, it's Facebook. It's their company. Yeah, Instagram. Facebook owns Instagram. It's their company. They can do whatever the hell they want. And if they feel like that's something that they can do to take some pressure off of their clientele or the people that use their platforms, Facebook and Instagram, I mean, that's their prerogative. Do I think the like count is good or bad? No, but I can see where they're coming from with this. To me personally, I really don't care. But at the same time, what are they going to do there? Are they going to adjust their algorithms so Facebook knows how many likes it got and so it tends to make it more viewable in other locations and make it go viral? I don't know, but that's something that they're thinking about doing more so in the United States, and they tested it out in other countries. They said they tested it out, but they didn't really give us the results of what they found by testing this out in other countries. But anyways, it's just something new that Facebook is planning on doing. Now, there's a Catholic school in Nashville that has sought the advice of an exorcist. And what this exorcist says is that regarding Harry Potter books, that the curses and spells used in the books are actual curses and spells, which when read by a human being risk conjuring evil spirits into the presence of the person reading the text. That was according to Reverend Dan Reehy, he wrote. But apparently they got the advice of an exorcist and they are removing the Harry Potter books from the Catholic school. This is St. Edward Catholic School in Nashville. The Roman Catholic Parish School, which educates students in pre-K through 8th grade, has removed all 7 volumes of J.K. Rowling's popular Harry Potter series from its library. And that's according to the Nashville Tennessean, due to the content. You know, but I remember a lot about this, you know, when Harry Potter first came out and a lot of the churches were having fits about it and saying that it's glorifying Satanism and witchcraft and all this other kind of stuff. So I'm kind of surprised that the books made it into this private school to begin with. But seriously, this school is consulting with an exorcist. I don't know. I mean, I really don't care. It's a private school. They can do whatever they want. I think it's a little silly. There's been a bazillion people that have read those books. That have allegedly conjured up these evil spirits. And I don't think we're in a society where everybody is possessed. Well, on second thought, maybe this does explain a lot. But anyways, Harry Potter's getting kicked out of the Catholic school in Nashville, Tennessee. Over 1,000 people in 49 states have fallen ill from a salmonella outbreak linked to backyard poultry. So if you're going down to Billy Bob's to get your chicken, you better check it because it might have salmonella. This is according to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC. Many people who got sick reported buying chicks and ducklings from agricultural stores, websites, and hatcheries. The CDC says that samples obtained from homes in California, Minnesota, and Ohio contain 6 of the strains that make people ill, in addition to samples from poultry environments at retail stores in Michigan and Oregon. Salmonella symptoms include diarrhea, fever, and stomach cramps, usually appearing 12 to 72 hours after bacteria exposure. The sickness typically lasts about 4 to 7 days, and most people will recover without having to go to the hospital. But be careful if you're eating those backyard chickens. And I'll tell you what, man, I went to a taco spot the other day, and, you know, maybe it wasn't a bright idea because it's about 110 degrees outside. Every door on this taco truck was open. Every window was open. There's flies everywhere. And I ordered me I ordered me 3 tacos and this little cheesy, like a quesadilla thing. And I'll tell you what, my stomach's been killing me all day. I didn't have any chicken, but I did have the carne asada. And yeah, it screwed me up. So I think I'm going to lay off that taco truck. I'm not going to lay off all taco trucks as a whole because I'm a big fan of the taco trucks. But I am definitely going to lay off that one that is off of Belgrave in Riverside. I don't know what it's called, but yeah, messed me up. I think Missy got messed up too. But anyways, also in the news, a British teenager lost his vision due to malnutrition. The boy's diet was compromised exclusively of French fries, Pringles, sometimes white bread, and the occasional slice of ham. He reportedly could not tolerate certain textures of food. He's one of these little pussy boys that, oh, I don't like the texture. I don't like the texture. Izzy always freaks about that stuff. Oh, I don't like the texture. Well, anyways, he reportedly could not tolerate certain textures of food and only felt comfortable, because it's all about making Junior comfortable, eating chips and crisps. While many parents might dismiss this behavior as fussy eating, the teen was actually diagnosed with avoidant restrictive food intake disorder. I have a street name for that, and it's called "This Kid Was a Fucking Prick." But that's the street name. The official name is avoidant restrictive food intake disorder. The teen lacked essential nutrients for his optic nervous system, resulting in blindness. Otherwise, he was previously healthy and not taking any medications, according to Dr. Denise Ayton, who treated him for 3 years before his predicament. So this little asshole refused to eat anything other than chips, white bread, and whatever else, and it made him go blind. You know, I saw this video the other day. I'm going to find the audio on that right now. And it was this white chick at a restaurant just losing her shit because her kids don't eat green things. And she specifically ordered red peppers in whatever food she was eating, and they delivered it with green peppers. And she lost her shit in this kitchen or at this walk-up counter just yelling because her kids do not eat green things. I'm going to find that right now. Hang on a second.
I'm really glad you two can talk to each other in whatever language it is that you're speaking. But it's really rude. If you want to be polite to the customer, then you speak English to the customer in America. My kids don't eat green things. They eat red. You calm down.
Usually we make with green pepper.
Okay, usually you make with green pepper. I ordered it with red pepper. What are you gonna do about it? Okay, well, how long is it gonna take?
15 minutes.
I don't have 15 minutes for you not to know English, not to get it right the first time. You get it right the first time. Customer is always right. That's how it works here. This is America, and you get it right the first time. You get it right the first time. Get it right the first time. Get it right the first time, okay?
Nothing better than white chicks just totally losing their mind over red peppers. And the funniest thing is if you listen to this right here, hang on, this noise right here, that is after she's, wait, get it right, she was yelling get it right, she grabs her bag, she slams it against the counter, and then she starts walking out of this fast food restaurant, and she's hauling ass, right? And she walks right into the fucking glass door. I'll tell you what, it was the best reactivation of karma, or whatever you want to call it. But watching this crazy white bitch, and there's like 10, 15 people in this restaurant, and she goes storming out of there and walks right into the glass door. It was comedy. Best thing I've seen in a long time. But, you know, her little pricks can't eat green peppers. They don't eat green food. Even though a green pepper and a red pepper and food taste exactly the fucking same if we're talking about bell peppers, her kids don't eat green shit. Well, you know what? I don't even know what to tell you, man. I know how it was with my parents. My parents were like, this is what we're eating. If you don't like it, you don't eat. And so that finicky eating bullshit went right out the window. If you were hungry, you would eat. And if you wanted to throw a fit and a hunger strike, my parents were more than willing to let me do it and just sit back and say, well, hey, I guess you're not eating. So you learn very fast to eat what is put before you and not fuck around with, you won't eat something because of the texture or because of the color. This is just this freaking mass society that we have of all these little entitled shits running around that have been catered to by their parents. And maybe it's because their parents feel guilty because they're never home, because they're working 24/7. So they try to be this, you know, uber super parent to make them kids, their kids happy and everything. But whatever, it's breeding this generation of monsters. And that mom that was yelling at the counter, oh, speak American, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, she's a monster too. But that was just a side note news story. One thing that I have been seeing that's been changing lately is, especially regarding this Odessa, Texas shooter, what I do appreciate is I touched on this once before where they need to stop referring to these people by name to give them that sense of notoriety, especially when it comes to these mass shooting suicides. And I have noticed that, especially regarding the Odessa, Texas shooter, I've been seeing him referred to mainly as just the Odessa, Texas shooter. And they haven't been referring to it by name, which I think is a good. I think it's a step in the right direction. But anyways, the Odessa Midland shooter who killed 7 people in Texas on Saturday had previously failed a background check when trying to purchase a gun. Authorities are unsure how exactly he obtained the firearm, but online court records show convictions for criminal trespassing and evading arrest in 2002. But Odessa Police Chief Michael Gerke said on Monday that the gunman's past interactions with police weren't serious enough to legally prevent him from owning a firearm. President Trump labeled the Texas shooter as a very sick person and stands by his claim that increased background checks on gun buyers would not have prevented many of the recent mass shootings in the United States. Hackers have compromised web hosting site WordPress, creating rogue admin accounts that inject faulty JavaScript into the victim's sites. Site visitors are redirected to potentially harmful content, including malware droppers and fraudulent sites. WordFence researchers found that the IP address in question belongs to a server hosted by Rackspace, who has not yet responded to WordFence. WordFence recommends WordPress site owners to keep their plugins up to date and regularly check for plugin updates. Well, not surprising, but in the saga of Hurricane Dorian, the inevitable has finally happened. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has blamed the storm on, you got it, global warming. And I quote, "This is what climate change looks like. It hits vulnerable communities first." That's what she tweeted on Tuesday. She continued in response to theoretical critics of her comment. "No, this is about science and leadership. We either decarbonize and cut emissions, or we don't and let people die." No one sent her the memo that people died in hurricanes long before the invention of the SUV. But that's, you know, just one of my favorites, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. You know, I was talking to some friends the other day, and I was saying that, you know, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, I swear, if she was still a bartender, she'd probably be one of my favorite bartenders, and I'd probably frequent her bar regularly just to hear the nonsense that spews out of her mouth. Now, it's a total different scary situation when she is in the leadership of this country, but as a bartender, yeah, dude, I would totally hang out with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, let her open up those wide, crazy eyeballs and just ramble the bullshit that comes out of her mouth, and I would tip her well. I think it would be a very entertaining bartender to sit at the bar and just listen to her nonsense. But whoever convinced her to actually run for office, that guy needs to be shot. So in Chicago news, you know, Chicago, one of the strictest gun law enforcement places on the planet, the Democrat mayor of Chicago is blaming Republicans for the city's notorious epidemic of gun violence. Mayor Lori Lightfoot claimed that 60% of guns seized in her crime-ridden city came from out of state and blamed coward Republicans like you who refuse to enact common sense gun legislation. And that was her replying to a tweet by Senator Ted Cruz. The Cruz tweet pointed to Chicago as an example of why gun laws don't stop criminals from using guns. And like other cities led for decades by liberal Democrats that are ravaged by violence, Chicago hasn't had a Republican mayor since the early 1930s. Our Twitter militant President Donald Trump used the holiday weekend to escalate his Twitter war against his critics. In 100-plus tweets over Labor Day weekend and into Tuesday, Trump went after the mayor of London, the Federal Reserve, and former FBI Director James Comey. Trump hit Sadiq Khan, the mayor of London, who criticized him for golfing over the weekend, insisted his approach to China will work, and revisited the Mueller investigation, calling it a giant and illegal scam. Congress should get to work on lowering the cost of health care and passing an infrastructure bill. That's what Trump was tweeting. Critics say Trump is taking his eye off the problem of Hurricane Dorian by spending time on Twitter fending off other criticisms of himself. Elizabeth Warren closed the gap with Joe Biden in the latest poll. The IBD/TIPP poll shows the TIPP. Okay, all right. It is what it is. But anyways, that poll shows the Massachusetts senator now within 4 points of the former vice president. Biden maintained a lead with 28% of the Democrats in his corner, down 2 points from last month, and 24% supporting Warren, up 7 points from August. Bernie Sanders clocked in at 12%, and Kamala Harris continued her polling slide with just 6%. Down from 11% in August. The same poll showed Biden with the strongest lead in head-to-head matchup with President Trump. Biden leads the president by 12 points, while Warren led Trump by 3 points. One of Hollywood's most outspoken liberals had words for Will and Grace star Deborah Messing's call for conservative actors to be outed and blacklisted. Whoopi Goldberg, co-host of The View, slammed the idea of printing out lists of people you don't want to work with and encouraging others to harass them. Whoopi said, in this country, people can vote for who they want to. That is one of the great rights of this country. You don't have to like it, but we don't go after people because we don't like who they voted for. We don't go after them that way. We can talk about issues and stuff, but we don't print out lists. That's what Whoopi said on the show, and she was greeted with applause from the audience. Deborah Messing had called for all attendees of President Trump rally in Beverly Hills to be printed out and made public, which also drew a rebuke over the weekend from Seinfeld actor John O'Hurley. Ariana Grande turned down an endorsement deal with Forever 21 and is now suing the company for launching a ripoff ad campaign. The suit claims that Forever 21 published at least 30 unauthorized images and videos misappropriating Ariana's name and likeness, and did so by piggybacking off of the huge success of her Thank You Next album. Ariana is asking for $10 million in damages. And so basically what they did is they took a bunch of the images from one of Ariana's music videos and they put an actress in the exact same outfit, pretty much a dead ringer, and they're using the same colors, the same backlighting. I mean, it looks like a clip from her music video. And Ariana Grande is claiming that they're using another actress as her likeness, and she's suing for this $10 million. Whether she's going to get it, I don't know. But I'll tell you what, the commercial that when I saw it side by side with Ariana Grande's video, the commercial campaign that they're using is definitely plagiarism and it's a dead ringer. It's a, definitely a knockoff of Ariana Grande's video. So whether she'll get that money or not, who knows? But she's attempting to sue that they're using another actress portraying herself as in Ariana Grande's likeness. So we'll see what happens. Layla Kent stripped down to her birthday suit to celebrate turning another year older. The Vanderpump Rules star shared a cheeky pic on Instagram with the caption, "Celebrating my birthday in my birthday suit," and thanked her fiance, family, and friends and her late dad, who she believed was sending love and blessings from above. Britney Spears and Kevin Federline have adjusted their custody agreement, according to numerous reports. The former couple has agreed that Kevin will get their two boys 70% of the time, leaving Britney with the remaining 30%. They previously had 50-50 custody. It's unclear what caused the change in custody, but they have filed for it, and it is official. Jessica Chastain was drowning in blood on the set of Chapter 2, It Chapter 2. The actress who plays the adult version of Beverly Marsh in the sequel of the 2017 film appears in a scene drenched in 4,500 gallons of fake blood. She has now revealed that she had to shoot the scene multiple times because director Andy Muschietti wanted it to be flawlessly fear-inducing, so it would have the biggest impact on the audience. Justin Bieber opened up about his personal roller coaster of life on Monday, sharing 1,000 words in a blunt post. To sum it up, he discussed growing up with two very young parents, coping with sudden attention from millions of fans, his darkest days, which included doing pretty heavy drugs at 19, and becoming resentful and disrespectful to women, all while going through the cycle of disappointment and feeling unfulfilled despite all of his success. He ended the post on a high note, writing that he has been blessed with people who love him and is now navigating the best season of his life in marriage. Kevin Hart's wife gave an update on the comedian's condition as she headed to the hospital to see him. Enrico Parrish told E! News that the 40-year-old is in great and is going to be just fine condition. Well, I kind of screwed that up, but you get what I'm saying. What she actually said was, he is great and is going to be just fine. On Sunday, Kevin and two others got in a car accident in which he suffered major back injuries and had to undergo back surgery. Doctors are expecting him to make a full and small stature recovery. Brooke Houts, the YouTuber who was seen beating, shoving, and spitting on her dog in footage she accidentally uploaded, is off the hook, according to TMZ. Law enforcement officials said the LAPD's Animal Cruelty Task Force is wrapping up its animal abuse investigation and is determined that the evidence doesn't support criminal charges. A source added that while the video is hard to watch, the interaction doesn't rise to the level of criminal abuse. Therefore, Brooke will be allowed to keep her Doberman Sphinx. Well, this has been Jake with Radio Underland and doing just a midweek little show with an update on the current news that's going on in our society. If you'd like to check out the big show, you can definitely check out our last episode, which was called Mr. Common Sense. We did that on Tuesday night, and that was a fun episode. And don't miss the episode from the week before, Laughing with Lot Lizard. That was a hilarious where we had the three comedians on the show. I'm blanking up. Romeric, AJ Nolan, and Ann Flagg. Subscribe to our channels and everything. If you'd like to support us, you can do so at patreon.com/radiounderland. Other than that, it's time for me to go, and you guys have a great day. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.